So, if any of you might not have been with us last week, we're reading through Colossians. We encourage you to do so in the diary, and we invited you to do so again last week, and I trust that you have done it. And we've just been reading the first chapter and the first part of the second chapter, reminding ourselves of what Paul is talking about. He's actually, of course, the letters in the New Testament were written because there was a problem to be addressed. But as I said last week, the issue is not what was the problem of the Colossians, because lovely people that they are, they're all now promoted. We need to gather from here what Paul, through what he's saying to them, what he might be saying to us. It's a living word for our times. Now, in the first part of the first chapter, he praises them as a people of faith and love, living the gospel hope. He encourages them, telling them that he prays for them to be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. You remember, that's what the apostles got in Acts chapter 6. They were filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that those were the ones who were appointed deacons to serve at tables, so that they will live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. And Paul encourages them to give thanks to God because they have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves by redemption, the forgiveness of us. That's us. That's the definition of a saint, not someone holier than thou, but people who are Christians. Now, all this leads Paul to write a central statement about the gospel. It's all about Jesus Christ. There is no other good news. And this good news is what delivers us. And this good news is to be set against what we once suffered from. We were once alienated from God, and we're enemies in our minds to God because of our evil behavior. Now, that's much harder to grasp if you've been brought up through the church and never really thought about, do you have evil behavior, because you are aware that God loves you. But evil is anything by action or inaction which causes pain, trouble, misery, corruption, or all manner of material, physical, mental, emotional abuse and suffering. And it doesn't really matter whether you did that by design or whether you did it by accident. By design or accident, evil goes against the common grace of treating others as you would want to be treated yourself. And it goes against the special grace of being opposed to the will, the mercy, the love, and the sovereignty of God. And I don't think, however long you've been in the church, I don't think there's anybody can say they have never been the cause, never been the cause of pain, trouble, misery, or any manner of hurt to others. And all these things which we do consciously or unconsciously, they cut us off from God. We lose Eden, we lose heaven, we lose eternal life. We exchange home in the mansions of God for a cell in the dungeons of darkness. That was our situation. But Christ's redemptive crucifixion rescues us. And so that through him and his work, we can be presented to God the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. I don't know if any of you were ever at school or anywhere else around your life ever rewarded with a certificate of honor, a statement, perhaps made the first boy or the first girl, perhaps given some amazing reward by your employer, said, what a wonderful worker you are. What an amazing person. Well, however good that was, it's going to be even more amazing when we stand before God, holy, blameless, and above reproach. All the soil of our sin washed away by the blood of Christ. You remember that in Philippians, Paul writes about how Jesus Christ humbled himself to become a man. But in Colossians, he's writing about the man who is actually God, God with God. So, I mean, I don't know. When you look in a mirror and you see yourself, I think I've said this before, when I look in a mirror and see myself, I also see reminders of my father. When you look at yourself, do you see reminders of your father or of your mother? When we see Jesus, we see the Father. Remember Philip's question to Jesus at the Last Supper, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here. Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus. And then he goes on to say, Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Well, throughout history, very sadly, some people have read this to say, oh, if Jesus is the firstborn, there must have been a time when he wasn't born. But the title firstborn does not refer to when someone comes into the scene. It's not about arrival. It's about place. It's saying God loves all of us, but Jesus Christ has a very special place in the Father's love. He is the firstborn, the dearly beloved Son. It's a title of distinction, a title expressing supremacy and priority of being. And so Paul goes on to say, look, he's the firstborn and he made everything. Now, God is the creator. Who creates but only God? And Jesus, he says, created all things. They were made by him, through him, and for him. And he sustains all things. And one of the commentators I was reading said, the church tends to heartily sing, he's got the whole world in his hand. But does it heartfully believe it? Jesus creates everything and he sustains everything. He's also the head of the church. Now, head has two meanings. One, it refers to the person of ultimate authority, as in the head of state. But secondly, it refers to source. The head of a river is the spring from which its waters flow. So Jesus, the river, is the ruler and the founding spring of the church. His being feeds, sustains, directs, nurtures, and nourishes the church. Without him, we would be like a tree deprived of water in a drought, dying slowly, even though we may yet be standing up. So because there's a lot to think about and a lot to grasp, I want to break and sing a song that celebrates Jesus Christ, his meekness and his majesty. Let's sing Meekness and Majesty.
Bow down and worship. sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise Father for good. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your God, this is your God. Such a thing.